When you hear the phrase soft as steel, what do you think of? While the word steel might conjure up images such as massive high-rise buildings, where does the soft part come in? And what exactly does this mean in our work and in our lives? Welcome to the Soft as Steel podcast with your host, Dennis Duran, featuring engaging conversations with a wide range of industry leaders around soft skills, how we practice love, inclusion, social justice, and compassionate leadership that's everlasting in the workplace. And now, here's Dennis Duran.
I have been looking forward to my conversation with today's guest on the Soft as Steel podcast. Jennifer Wilkerson is the Vice President of Innovation and Advancement at the National Center for Construction Education and Research, NCCER. Jennifer brings a wealth of experience to her role. She joined NCCER over 14 years ago. Before joining that organization, Jennifer spent 13 years teaching high school. Now, I could parenthetically throw in here a thought that that's about the right age range for a lot of entry-level craft workers from a maturity standpoint, but I won't mention that part, but it did come into my mind. But certainly, that experience is valuable. Additionally, you have first-hand knowledge as an owner of a steel fabrication company, so you know something about the industry from being part of the industry, which is phenomenal, and I'm sure is an important ingredient in how you do everything you do at NCCER. Her combined experiences and expertise in education and construction makes her uniquely qualified to drive innovation and advancement within CCER's products and services. I wanted to have the opportunity to talk with Jennifer about newsmaking and vitally important research relating to women in the construction industry. This research has brought facts, statistics, and a wide range of perspectives to perhaps the most critical element of the people power. Again, the term that still exists and resists change is manpower. And I finally identified myself in a previous interview as having a bias because I would routinely use the term manpower. And it's not just man's, it's people. So people power discussion that is at the forefront increasingly every day. Jennifer's words say best what challenge and opportunity is all about for us. And I quote, "I am so excited about the release of this research. It is time for our industry to commit to becoming the industry of choice for women. Construction provides financial freedom, pride and empowerment for women. As leaders, let's be intentional in making the adjustments needed to recruit and retain women." Bravo. Said perfectly. Said with feeling, said with emotion, said with a loving thought about women in our industry. So that's what I want to talk to you about. It's unfortunate that right now I would say the two leading daily discussions in our industry are this about women in the construction industry and artificial intelligence. So, and those are mutually exclusive. I think males dominate the artificial intelligence part as far as it being artificial. I'm trying to be humorous. I hope my producer's okay with this. Let's talk about the research. There were two products. One, I think, had the title "In Their Own Voice," as I recall. Is that the title of one of them?
It's "In Her Own Words." In her own words, improving project outcomes.
Yeah. Yes. You know, and I think not to jump ahead, but I had in my back of my mind that that might end up being a perfect title for this conversation. But we'll see as we go on with the conversation. So I think the best way to ask you to pull parts and pieces as we sit here today, and again, this is an evergreen conversation. Hopefully this podcast will be listened to by folks for, you know, months or years to come. And interestingly, that has been happening over the first 2 years of my podcast. Like, suddenly it'll pop up a few views from a podcast that I did nearly 2 years ago.
That's great.
Tell our listeners, our audience, where you think we are, based on the cumulative research, where are we now? How much progress have we made? And how much farther do we have to go? So it's a very general and broad question, but I'm sure you have something to say about it.
Yeah, it is. It is. We're heading in the right direction. It's not large gains right now. I think that one of the things that's important to remember, although we talk about 11% of the construction industry being women, that includes office staff, engineers, administration, leadership there. A lot of what we did and what we focused on in our research was the field side of construction. And so when you go to talk about that, when we started the research, only 3.9% were actually tradeswomen. Mm-hmm. Those that are in the industry with a particular craft, a particular skill that they were providing. And it got up to 4.2. So we're going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we have a long way to go when there's 51% of our population are women. Mm-hmm. And we talk about a workforce shortage all the time. We talk about workforce shortage in the construction industry for over 30 years. But right now, when we're looking at it and everyone is competing for the talent that's out there or the people that are interested and want to learn something, I think it's vitally important for us to remember the 51%. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, I've had a great time over the past year traveling around and talking about this. I will say 14 years here at NCCR and being in the industry with our business, I do think that there's a shift happening. I really do. I see it. I talk to people that are doing very intentional things at their organizations. So again, we're heading in the right direction. Mm-hmm.
Unless you're reluctant to be specific, does as we sit here today and as you've been traveling and talking to people, do any organizations, either contractors, union organizations, or other kinds of organizations stand out as being strong advocates, having a tremendous amount of investment of time and energy in their initiatives? Anybody stand out?
Wow. I would say just talking to contractors, one that impressed me in a conversation was Turner Construction. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that they've done there. Throwing around names, like I feel like I've talked to so many people and I'm right. probably going to leave somebody out that's committed, but there are large organizations that have talked to us about coming and doing case studies with them that they're trying to implement some of the suggestions and the recommendations that we've made through the research that come directly from the tradeswomen. Bechtel, I know we've talked to Bechtel and they've been very interested in that. Worley, Turner Industries, a lot of people, again, I think people are heading in the right direction. I think we are seeing the commitment from the top. And that's what we needed, right? Like we needed buy-in from the top to say, this is a culture shift for us. This is a change and we have to train people. So I think there's probably a lot of organizations. I know I recently spoke to a young woman from Hensel Phelps, Cabry, and mm-hmm. Her company, Hensel Phelps, very progressive and doing a lot of things to really not only for women, but just inclusion in general. Mm-hmm. And I love the statement that she made about our industry is she said, we need all people. We need all skills. The construction industry is ultimately the inclusive industry. Mm-hmm. We just don't say that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can hear her saying those words that she, again, I've had the pleasure of having a conversation with her. And, frankly, it was, I was awestruck.
Absolutely.
And she continues to have a good and appropriate presence in things like LinkedIn and other places. She's a bright star for sure. Actually, she was one of the people that mentioned you to me. Just as a coincidence.
That was kind of her.
Yeah. And it's interesting you mentioned Turner. And again, my purpose here is not to try to do any unsolicited promotion for any contractor or other organization. But it's interesting because they have taken this to another level with the creation of a position referred to as the Director of Environment, Social, and Governance Strategy. So they looked at those three elements of who they are as an organization and how they interact with the industry and their people internally, as well as their customers, and really elevated, this. And that, when you think about those three elements, that's a powerful platform, for culture, in an organization. Yes. I just literally saw that today, and I'm looking at my notes from when I do my spying on the internet, and I saw that and I said, I got to write this. I think her name is Jennifer Davey, is a woman's name there. And, she's now on my hit list, to connect with and potentially talk with, because again, they're doing some great stuff and they are huge, obviously, in the industry. So you're optimistic. Things are improving. If somebody pushed you to say, all right, so we're at 4.2% in terms of field force. Where are we going to be in 5 years? What would Jennifer Wilkerson's crystal ball say if she was pressed? If she was pressed?
Yeah. Well, of course, I would love for at least 50% would be there, but I would love for us to strive. How many years did you give me there?
I gave you five.
You gave me five. I don't think it would be far off saying that we could get to 15%. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would be. Mm-hmm. I think we could, there's just an optimism and a, You know, I remember when I first started going to some of these meetings 14 years ago, and there would be three of us at an association meeting. And I go now, and it has just grown. And there's young women showing up. I went to Groundbreaking Women in Construction by ENR that they put on. There's 750 people there. I just really see this groundswell. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it's this commitment, whichever organization, Granite was there. Granite has an incredible program too. I just feel it. And I don't think that would be unrealistic. Mm-hmm. I think we could do it. And here's the other hope. And what I've seen, Dennis, that I really love is you've probably seen these articles about the tool belt generation that they're calling Gen Z, the tool belt generation, because we have this whole group of young people that are coming out of COVID. They experienced that. They look at college debt. They want to have meaningful work. Mm-hmm. They want to be in a team environment. And there's a lot of them choosing construction, skilled trades in general, manufacturing, automotive, whatever that is, because it's meaningful work, especially in construction. You know, we don't do enough to tout. We're building the hospitals. We're building the schools. We're building the churches. We're building places that protect people, house people, and bring them together. And I just think, I think that if we stay with our roots and our commitment on things that we do in our industry, that this is a very positive sign.
Yeah. So well said. You know, it's, I had a chance to have a conversation with the, his title, I believe, is Executive Director of the Canadian Building Trades. And he's tucked in under the North American Building Trades. It's run by Sean McGarvey.
Yes.
And we had a wonderful conversation a number of months ago. And one of the things he said is that we, as an industry, and you're part of the voice of the industry and the role that you play, and it's a critical one. I mean, the programs that you folks have developed and are disseminating are game changing. And he said we need to be telling a different story about the construction industry. And I think that story is more around the kinds of things that you're mentioning. When you talk about enthusiasm. Again, are you seeing it firsthand, and let's say more spontaneously from the very senior leadership of organizations? Because I know you come in contact with a lot of them through the work you do, and by attending things like Groundbreaking Women. And by the way, that's actually where I found Jennifer Davey, because she was one of the speakers there. That's how I found her. But are you getting a sense as you interact with, again, the C-level leadership in major organizations, contractors in particular, general contractors, that a large percentage of them at the C-level are still men. It'd be interesting to do a slice. Again, the notion of total 11 field force, 4 in that 11%, what's their percentage in terms of C-level people? Now, I know there's some wonderful CEOs across the industry that are women, but again, my guess is it's still a small number. So we have to continue to rely on the interest and willingness of senior leadership, predominantly white males, to see their industry differently and to express the vision. To motivate people, inspire them, not to resist, but to embrace differences, because that's really what it boils down to, isn't it? When we're talking about just, people are people, humans are humans. They become lesser in either one of those categories based on how they actually behave. But if we start with, that's one thing we have in common. You know, we're all human beings, but we also have another thing in common, that is we're all different from each other. I talk about this quite a lot, and because I think it's almost too simple to say it, but it's striking in terms of the effect it has. That simple acknowledgement that something we have in common with every other person we encounter is that we're different from them. Mm-hmm. Why then is that a problem, as opposed to simply being a piece of information that helps us understand other people? Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that what happens is people are comfortable with what they know. So I'm very comfortable with the group of people I've worked with all this time. And that's very easy. I don't have to change. I don't have to think about it. And, you know, I talk a lot when I go out and speak about this. One of the things that we did in our research was we wanted to highlight the unique qualities that women bring to the project sites and to the industry. And some of what that is that, number one, we found out from their supervisors and managers that because they may not have the physical strength, that men have or the experience in the industry, they really rely on the design documents and the processes. And they said, you want someone to follow something. Well, you have these women on those project sites and they are like definitely following the plan. And I always equate this to, look, I don't know about you, but my husband, we buy something and he starts putting it together. I'm the one with the directions. I'm going, wait. Step one, first you need to find, and he's like, Jennifer, let me just put this together. But that is something that makes us different and makes us a better team, because he may get to some part of it and then go, what's going on here? And I can say, well, I read this section. So I think that's one of the things that women bring. I think another important thing, and we know attention to detail, like people have talked about this forever. Absolutely. Women are super organized. They're detail oriented. But here's what they bring in this time. Women are team focused. Women are there and they don't want to just succeed themselves. They want their whole team to exceed. And that's just succeed. And that's just something that's innate in us.
Yeah.
You know, my husband has been a welder since 1988. Wow. I guarantee you that he has never walked up to one of his crew members, people that work with him, is it okay? Is everything okay today? Like, you seem a little off. But you know what I do? You know what women do? We do notice that. We notice that, you know, this person over here is walking slower. They don't have their same enthusiasm. And in a time when we're really talking about total human health and mental wellness and stuff, it is important to have team players and someone that is that person that kind of helps make that enthusiasm. And in fact, the Construction Industry Institute did a study and they surveyed 2,700, a little more than 2,700 people, 95%, which were men. And one of their questions in there was to rate themselves on productivity, safety, quality. Do you know the men that had at least one woman on their team actually rated themselves better in those areas? Mm-hmm. And we just thought, like, that's so interesting. Mm-hmm. Why would that be? And I think it is because that's something, as you said, what we bring to the team that's different is we just have some things that are innate to us. Mm-hmm. We have some things that we want, you know, we want to accomplish. We want everyone to do well. And I'm not saying that men don't. I think everyone's paying more attention to mental health and to all of this, but for women, it just comes natural.
Right. Well, you know, one could say, and I'm just a person that tries to learn things all the time, so I'm not an expert on much of anything. But you know, it kind of goes back way back to the fundamental male female thing: hunters and gatherers. You know, gatherers care about whoever they're taking care of, and so it really does. It really does date back to the earliest days of humanity.
Absolutely.
I think. I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
I agree.
You know, you do? Okay, well, then that must be right. Because
it must be right. Two people, done.
Yeah, well, you know, one male and one female. So again, you give me credibility. I think it's very important. But yeah, I think, you know, you're right. So in your just thinking about your research again and some of your findings, what things jump out as being what I would call interesting and very worthwhile to try to energize or accelerate understanding and change?
I would say, you know, there were so many things that we went to project sites. We, on the project sites, and interviewed, had focus groups, 29 focus groups with 176 tradeswomen on the project sites talking to them. And so some of the things they talked about are things like, here's the deal. A lot of these moms said, we have single moms. They said, you know what? I got into the industry because of the money. I stayed in the industry because of the pride I have for what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Like, they loved it. They were committed. They were loyal to their employers. They wanted to succeed. They wanted more training. Mm-hmm. So I think that was fantastic. Here's what they didn't see. 57% of the women that we interviewed, not only there, but in a survey that we did with Ambition Theory of another 770 women, 200 or so of them were tradeswomen too, said they never had a female supervisor on a project site.
Mm.
If I can't see it, I can't achieve it. Mm-hmm. So if I want training and I'm loyal and I want to do things and I want to grow, but there's no women out here in the foreman role, in the superintendent role, in the project managers that come to the site, then it's really hard for a woman to see the opportunity in our industry. So I think one of the things we have to do is be very intentional about identifying. And this isn't about, you know, meeting any quota or doing anything. If I'm telling you that women are team focused, they're detail-oriented. They follow the plans. Aren't those the qualities that we want in our leaders? So identify these women and give them that pathway. And I think if we could see more women in those roles, then more women would do that. You know, you just want where you go every day, you want there to be opportunity and you want to feel like you can grow with your company. And I think that's something we can do really big. I think there's other things that we've talked about for years of accommodations and helping with moms. I think construction's going to have to get out of this mindset that everybody has to start at the same time and everybody has to end at the same time. I think we have to start thinking about shift work and the fact that women, we had plenty of women that said, look, I can't be there that early, but I can stay late, or the opposite. I can be extra early and stay. I think we have to start thinking about flexible time on our job sites. Yeah. And how we do that. And you know, manufacturing has been doing this for years. Why does everybody have to be there? Now, everybody from particular trades may have to be there at the same time. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, obviously there's opportunity. I mean, there's instances where we need representation of all the groups, but I think it benefits everyone if we start talking about shift work and flexibility there. But at the same time, they said, I need to know my schedule. Mm-hmm. Like I have childcare. I have, you know, and I think this is for men too. There's a lot of men that are taking care of their children that need that same opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. And I think that may be one of the hurdles is to be able to see differently how we can plan and schedule. How we can schedule people. I was going to say manpower. I'm calling myself out and I probably should write a post or something about this.
Put some sticky notes around.
I'm going to do something because again, it's almost Freudian. I've been in the industry for over 40 years. And when I think about, you know, people in the industry, field forces, the term we use is manpower. And that simply is no longer correct. So Dennis, you got to get your act together. So you mentioned flexible schedules. You mentioned the realities of childcare first and foremost. Still, again, in a traditional sense, the expectation is that's a woman's thing, but it is changing, and that will continue to change. I think you also mentioned in one of the studies, and I apologize because I was doing a number of things reading over the last couple of days, but I think we talked about the difference between mentorship and mentoring and sponsors and sponsorship, and I think it's so important, and I think the distinction is important because in my view, and again I want your a detailed reaction to this, in my view the difference between mentoring and sponsoring is that if you're sponsoring someone, you've got some meaningful skin in the game because you're standing behind this person. Say, this is a person we need to push along. This is a person we need to send that training. This is a person that we need to delegate more responsibility to. That person happens to be female. I may be a male or a female, probably more likely a male. And so do I want to step up and take that on? Is that a fair way to look at it? And if so, why is it so important that we deal with that?
Yeah, I think this is really important. And ambition theory, as I said, we had done some research with them, and Andrea Jansen and her team have done a great job of really making sure to define this. Everybody needs mentors. In fact, as an industry, the apprenticeship programs that have come through construction, we're about mentoring. Like, you want to pass that on and you want to help people. And I think we have a lot of that. What the difference is, invite me to that meeting, invite me to that dinner, invite me to this, and be my advocate when I'm not in the room. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what people need to understand. That sponsorship is, I'm sponsoring this person. I am dedicated to helping this person, not just mentoring them and teaching them the skills and giving them some books and doing this. But I mean, there's plenty of times that we've heard the stories about, you know, women talking about themselves and another person that was a male that was in the industry at the same level they were, and they see opportunities go to the men before they even have an opportunity to show they can do it too, or they want it too. I had someone talk about two young project managers, male and female, started working for the same company at the same time, both had great skill sets, and the woman was placed on an easier project and the man was placed on a more difficult project. And then when it came time for the next, okay, who's going to be promoted here? Well, we need the person that got the experience, was really, well, why not me?
Right.
You know, that I think that we have to start thinking about that. And again, we have to be intentional about our sponsorship too.
Yes.
Because like I said, I want to be involved in all of the parts of the business and understanding it. And I want to know that someone has my back.
Yeah. You know, I agree entirely. You know, two thoughts pop into my mind. One is to say that, and I know you know this well, you know, the construction industry in terms of organizations, companies, is largely dominated in terms of individual companies by small businesses.
Yes.
And so when we talk about mentorship and sponsorship, you know, apprenticeship is very well ingrained, certainly in the culture of unionized construction, also ingrained in open or merit shop construction, but maybe not to the same, what's the right word, really hard, formal way it is in unionized. But they both, the industry is doing a decent job of the apprenticeship, which I would say is decent because it is a program. People are getting paid to learn. They're immediately connected with the contractors. So the opportunity for them to receive from day one, the most significant and traditional, generationally traditional form of training, which is on the job. Because again, we're talking about executable skills, you know, physical skills that they have to learn. And some of those are now extending into learning how to use keypads in a different way, use remote control devices and all that kind of stuff. We could talk about that as well, but I'll kind of let that one sit aside. But the other thing is that when we talk about bringing people along, at the operations level, it's about, this sponsor recognizing the potential of a person who may be a second or third year apprentice, and giving them some separate additional responsibility, or taking them along to a 2-week look ahead meeting so they can sit there and listen while the bosses talk about what's going to happen over the next 2 weeks based on what didn't happen over the previous 2 weeks or whatever it may be. So it's those kinds of things, bringing them into places where they may feel uncomfortable. But if the explanation is, I want you to be exposed to this, what a great idea. And the last thought I have, and this is just a second point, is that as I've been around construction for a long time, and while generally speaking, people are interested in trying to bring folks along, probably primarily because there's such a desperate need for folks that if we don't do it as much as we can, once we get them in the door, we're going to lose them. But we still have there's still a veneer of resistance by my generation, principally, and I'll identify as I am. I'm a baby boomer, so there's not many of me left. So in another few years, you're not got to worry about me and others. But we're kind of the sticks in the mud, and maybe even the generation is right behind us saying, I don't, and this is an admittance by saying this, that they really don't understand what's going on around them. And they're saying, no, I'm not, they need to figure it out on their own. I got my job. I want to make sure that I've got my job, which is super silly to say it kind of crass way, because the last problem that anybody that's capable has in the construction industry is being able to keep a job, because we need people. The last thought is, and the challenge is this, and I'm sure you guys are doing some stuff. I'd love to learn offline more about what it is, but I live in the world of soft skills, which are not really skills. They're people's qualities, attributes, traits, their values, as opposed to hard skills. So I'm over in this side wondering, what are we doing? Why aren't we doing more? And I use the term developing the whole person. We do a good job of developing the person as far as the technical core and the competency skills around skills, doing the job. But what's becoming increasingly more important as the generational friction continues, and the generations involved are different, but it's still a mishmash. And that is this notion, it's not just enough to be able to do the job. It's about how you are when you're doing the job, which speaks entirely to the person that is not the person that can wield a hammer or use a different kind of device or whatever, but a person who knows how understands themselves and how to interact with other people, because we don't have one person crews out there. Team is, there's no I in team, that kind of trite thought. So what are your thoughts?
One of the terms that I hear a lot now and just had a conversation about it is psychological safety, right? And people are like, oh, well, what does that mean? And what it means is that people are comfortable where they are. People are comfortable to ask questions, to ask for help and do this. And I do think that we're seeing a commitment to this. We're seeing a shift to this. I think it's so important for us to look at the whole person and not think of them. You know, years ago, you'd call them hands, right? They're the hands. How many hands do you have? Like that was the only part of the person. And I think that that's a great analogy. Like it's not just about their hands. It's about their heart. It's about their mind. It's about what they're doing before work and after work. And communication is so important. That is the one thing that I hear over and over that I talk to people is get better at communicating because it's that communicating that brings us together. It's that me feeling comfortable to tell you, I don't really understand how you want me to do this. And as an industry, we haven't always been open to that. For whatever reason, you could call it generational, whatever you want to say, but people are just supposed to know. And I learned it the hard way. So you just get on here and you learn it the hard way too.
Right.
Why would we want to have potential safety issues, slow down in our schedule, poor productivity and quality, simply because we're trying to prove a point that that's how I learned it?
I think
that we've started seeing leadership shift away from that. I think we've started really seeing the people, as you say, you know, the people power, it's all of us together. And I think that that's extremely important. If we are ever going to be an industry of choice, if we're going to have, we have to focus on projects of choice. We have to show open communication. We have to show respect and value of other people. And this is just something, our industry is known for teamwork. Like it takes a team to build this. Like you said, there's no I in this. I get out there. There's no way that the HVAC technicians are going to come and build the building. And there's no way the pipe fitters are going to finish the whole plant. I mean, it takes all of us coming together. And I think it's communication. It's respect. It's about valuing the skills of other people and asking questions and telling them and not being hard or crass if they don't know the answer. Like it's better for us to say, oh, I didn't realize you didn't understand that. Here, let me explain and talk to you about this. I think that's where training comes in. And I think companies have to commit to excellent onboarding, orientation, and training because there are people that come to these project sites that may have never been, they're eager. They want to do it. We need people. Guess what? If you scare them off day one with the onboarding or week one, we can't get them through 90 days, then we're not going to have people in our industry. So I think all of that's important. I love the fact, you know, talking about the whole person.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to happen. That has to be, and onboarding is an interesting term. And what you talk about an organization of the size of a number that you've already mentioned, some of the major construction or EPC firms, certainly onboarding is a vital process. If you're talking about a subcontractor who's at peak's got 20 employees, onboarding?
I know that.
Yeah, you know, right, because your company is a small company, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. But that's not an excuse.
Right.
There still has to be attention given. For a small business, if your complement at peak is 20 people and you drop back to 10 in off season, you know, those 10 people are pretty darn valuable. And if you're not teaching them how to get along better with each other by putting value in understanding personalities, communication as a process, those kinds of things, they're never going to develop.
Yeah.
One of the simplest ways to reduce anxiety, and again, mental wellness is being talked about, anxiety and depression are chronic in our industry, along with addiction and suicide. I don't want to end on a down note, but that's one of the realities. But one of the simplest ways to ease anxiety is to talk.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Or no, I don't have time for that, right? No. I told you what to do. And they're walking around just like scared to death. They're going to hurt themselves or somebody else because they didn't understand the instructions.
Absolutely.
Well, here's a problem I've got now, Jennifer. We are at the end of our time. And I am not even close to finish talking to you. And I don't normally do this, but I'm going to ask you right now if you would be willing to come back to the Soft to Steel podcast in, let's say, 6 months from now and pick up where we left off and talk some more and see what's going on at that point in time. You sit in a vitally important role in the industry. Your organization fills a critical role. This research is significant in so many different ways. And so I think hearing from you again is something that my listeners would enjoy, and I hope you would be willing to do that. You don't have to say yes right now unless you really want to.
I absolutely will come back. I love talking about this. This is my passion. This is my heart. And to tell you how much it's my passion, I have two girls in the industry. I have a 21 and a 31 in the industry. So
that's awesome.
It's really important.
That's awesome. It's been a privilege and a joy to talk to you. So thank you so much for coming on the Soft to Steal podcast.
Thanks for inviting me. This was great.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today for this episode of the Soft to Steal podcast with your host, Dennis Duran. Dennis is the author of Soft to Steal and a leading speaker and trainer for organizations across many industries and verticals. To learn more about the work Dennis is doing to activate soft skills in the workplace, contact him at DennisDuranSpeaking.com. Be sure to check out his book, Soft as Steel, on Amazon or wherever books are sold. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever you'd like to get your podcasts. And please remember to share this episode with your friends, colleagues, and anyone you feel would benefit from the conversation. We'll see you next time on the Soft as Steel podcast with Dennis Duran.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.